Hey, this is Christian Karyanides from our sister podcast, Yanks in the End Zone.
Fucking hell. That sounded so good. He's American.
Hey, let's go!
Bricks in the end zone.
Come on, let's go!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Brits in the End Zone. Extra special edition today because we have a guest over from America. We try our best to avoid American accents on this show, but there's nothing we can do about this one because he's literally American. So, Christian, I'm going to introduce you first. Where do you live in America?
I live in Brooklyn, New York. Really happy to be on the podcast, guys.
I've heard of that place.
Already sounds cooler than all of us. That's really
What are you doing here, Christian?
I'm in the area for work, and I like to join a football podcast in every place that I visit, so I'm glad that, and I had you guys spotted as my number one podcast to join in London, so I'm happy to be on.
Let's be serious, Chris, you literally came here just for our NFL fantasy draft.
Yeah.
Oh, that's also true.
Which took place last night.
I also know you guys from my number one fantasy football draft. That's the other thing.
Christian was pretending that he's come on here as a fan of the podcast, and we've now just given away that we just know him. So anyway, it doesn't matter. So that's Christian. As usual, we have Charles, Greeny, and JP.
Hello.
Everyone good?
Yeah.
All good.
Charles probably less good than everyone else for reasons we'll explain later in the show, fantasy football related. But we're going to kick off this episode today with our question of the week, as ever, which has come from Jack on Twitter. The question is, if you could have your time again but couldn't support the same team, who would you support? That's a really good question. Greeny, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Right, so since I became the Chargers fan, as I mentioned, they've been
the utmost
Chargers fan in London. They've been on a downward spiral. So I thought, if I just had my time again, I could be a Packers fan. I could have Aaron Rodgers, who's probably the biggest legend in the NFL. I could wear a cheese on my head for every game.
We're not stopping you from doing that now.
Yeah. I love how you say you thought that.
Maybe a thunderbolt in my head.
That's the question that made you think that. It wasn't you were just thinking that abstractly. The question directly led you to this. You said as if you had some
Charles, this is semantics. This is a podcast. We're pretending that this is a conversation. None of us would be here behind microphones if this wasn't staged.
I do apologize.
And then also, they won the Super Bowl in around 2011, 2012. And that's the point when my fandom was increasing. So I think I would have definitely had a great year. I would have probably travelled to Wisconsin just to enjoy
that. You could
have
been a bit of a glory hunter. It would have been like supporting Man United.
I don't know who
does
that.
I feel like you would have struggled from going from the powder blue to the green.
Not your colour, really, is it?
Green, don't like that green.
Dan's a bit of a summer, I reckon.
We don't like that green either.
Anyway, but the Packers, I think the Packers are a fair choice. I reckon a lot of people would choose the Packers because they've got a nice feel about them. They've got good fans.
Very exciting to
great
watch.
Great team.
They throw the ball around a lot. It's great.
They throw it around. They chuck it about, whatever. Yeah. Charlesy? It's difficult because you support quite a few teams. So we have to rule all of those out.
Definitely not true. I unfortunately support the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're not very good and haven't been ever. But if I had my time again, I'd probably, and it's not just because they're on Hard Knocks, but I'd probably go for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they've got quite an exciting young team. It's kind of what I bought into the Jags sort of being. You know, when I saw, Bortles and Robinson were quite young and they threw a lot. Now they're going to run with Fournette and it's going to be quite boring to watch. But I think the Bucs, they've got good players at every position. They've got a good defense. They've got Mike Evans, who's a all-star wide receiver, really great to watch. And I think with a young quarterback, he could be very good. They're going to be exciting. And I think that would be the team I'd.
Are they local rivals to the Jags?
They're not in the same division, but they are in the same state. They're both in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like going from Spurs to Arsenal. Something you've also nearly done.
You have to win games for a rivalry. I think.
Not get carried away.
Okay, JP.
I think I'd probably be a Falcons.
Sorry, hold on a minute. Is Charlie off? Charlie's put his coat on and he's literally just like pressed the on button and has walked out. Why are we paying him? Sorry, JP. Rudely interrupted you there.
That's all right. I think I would be, I'd be a Falcons fan. From my last trip to the States, I had the Julio Jones jersey that Greeny actually made me buy.
Great purchase.
Pre-Browns, obviously. I love watching Julio Jones. I mean, if you were to build a wide receiver from scratch, I mean, Julio Jones is pretty much that perfect wide receiver. And they're just a really exciting offense to watch. They score loads of points, and yeah, they're just really fun.
If you were going to build a wide receiver from scratch, wouldn't you want one of those giants from Game of Thrones instead? Wouldn't that be
1-1?
1-1, exactly.
When we're talking about building humans from scratch, I think about, do you remember that episode in Sabrina when the aunt wanted to have a date and she
they made, like,
with the
made
milk,
perfect.
the guy who drank all the milk?
Yeah,
what a show.
I actually remember that.
Remember that episode from Sabrina is where I just shut off some podcasts.
Well, in that case, I'm going to skip you on this question. It's a little rude. For me, as an Eagles fan, it's difficult to go upwards from there, but I would pick the Seahawks. I think that they're a great team, exciting defense, exciting offense, generally a good team. Also, big fan of the music scene from the 90s, Nirvana fan, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Band of Horses more recently. This is all really boring for people who don't give a shit about music. So I feel like I have a slight affinity to Seattle. I've never been there, but I would love to go. And they're a good team. So
I can lend you my hoodie.
Yeah, exactly. they're on your roster, so you can tell me about them. So thanks, Jack, for your question. Let's get into Hard Knocks. We mentioned it just before. It started this week in the UK. It was a good episode, wasn't it? Pretty strong start.
Really enjoyed it.
I feel like the past few series have been good because it's Hard Knocks, but the team's been a bit shit. I feel like now it's quite an exciting opportunity to see behind the scenes of a good team.
It's not the Rams. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's automatically an upgrade.
Exactly. Jameis Winston, we've got to be excited about him. What are we saying about him?
He seems like a really cool guy. I mean, it's bizarre that he's only 23 because he's, you know, the face of a franchise and, you know, I don't know.
Seems like a lot of pressure on his shoulders for a man that's only just been in the league for, a couple of years or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he seemed like he could handle it.
I always find that quite amazing about, like, the quarterbacks, especially, like, the rookies that come into the league, first, second years, that they're suddenly seen as the leader. So they could have guys on their team that are, you know, have been playing for 8, 9, 10 years, yet they're the ones that have got to be the vocal one. They're the ones that have got to go out and lead their offense. And that's a really big responsibility on such, like, young, inexperienced shoulders.
Yeah, and to be telling people who are, like, 12 years older than you what to do, and it's, that could be a bit awkward.
I guess that's the nature of being a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think because he's quite charismatic, that helps him. If he does make a mistake, his players will give him a pat on the back. Yeah. But the one thing that struck me as weird is that he was going, I don't really like pay attention to all the little features of, like, throwing, where to throw it. You know, I need to get 2 yards. I thought that's weird for the quarterback.
And then he says something like he doesn't look at the clock or he doesn't see, like, what the yard
is.
Yeah,
that's what I'm referring to.
Does he actually know what his job is? He just, like, kind of goes out there and just does whatever.
It's like they've just put Neo out there and he starts singing and he's having a great time. Don't know where he's throwing it.
he's just a cool looking guy.
Yeah, but there was that interesting scene where the coach, Dirk Cutter, was basically saying, now we've actually got a good team, we don't need you to go and carry the team on your back. You can just don't lose us the game. We've got enough.
You're the only one that can lose us the game. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, that's what he said. No one can lose us.
That's got to be nice to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a 23-year-old.
I thought it was interesting how he also compared him to, like, Rodgers' style of play. And, like, that must be quite a, like, I don't know, like, a bit of unnerving thing. Like, suddenly you're being compared to probably one second best.
He probably thinks he's a lot better than Rodgers, doesn't he?
Yeah. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's, you know, he's the face of a franchise at just 23. To be a quarterback, you have to be pretty up yourself.
Confident. You've got to be confident.
And like you said, and also to be able to, another interesting quote he said was, he was teaching the kids and he said, are you prepared to, you know, throw 5 touchdowns, but then your team still loses and everyone has a go at you? That's the sort of, like, attitude that, you know, you've got to be able to embrace as a quarterback.
Basically, there's no point watching the show now if you haven't, because we've just given you the best quotes.
I love the rapport between DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I thought it, like, came across really well, and you could see that they just get on and they could be a really, like, deadly duo.
Mike Evans looked pretty good, didn't he? Christian, what can you tell? What are the Americans now about Mike Evans? Have they heard of him or?
Yeah, Mike Evans is a bit of a stud. I mean, he was good in college.
He just looks huge, doesn't he? He's up there to catch anything. Five.
Is the partnership a bit of like a Crouch and Defoe? Is that what we're looking at there?
Big guy, little guy.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Evans is quite built the same way as Peter Crouch.
Peter Crouch has his own radio show now. Oh, did you know that?
Good for him.
I think Mike Evans could as well. He seems quite articulate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Savage.
We've not talked anything about football, but this is good.
No, forget that.
Going the right way.
No, I think Mike Evans is going to be... I mean, I decided to pass on him in the draft, but I think he's going to be pretty big this year. I've got a question here that I have to read out. I can't pronounce the guy's name. How will they show the Aguero news? Is that a different sport? Sergio Aguero? Someone explain this to me.
Roberto Aguayo. He was the kicker they drafted in the second round last year.
They traded up. to get him.
And what have they done? They've got rid of him now.
Yeah, they've cut him.
They traded up for a kicker. They've cut him.
They've cut him after 1 year. I mean, to pick him in the second round was ludicrous. Anyway, everyone laughed at them. Even if he
almost, I'd be taking an injured Ezekiel or a suspended Ezekiel Elliott in the second round.
I don't know who would do that.
No. Who's LG?
More from that later. So he was a kicker. Why did they cut him? Because he's crap.
Yeah, couldn't kick.
So they'll probably show that in the second episode. Right. Like, how will they show it?
Well, the question here is, how will they show that?
Just frame it.
It'll be interesting to see. Interesting to see, what happened. I think they had kickoffs between him and another guy who they... Nick Folk, was it?
It'd be great if they showed the equivalent of, like, a penalty shootout between Nick Folk and Aguirre.
Folk used to be at the Eagles, or have I made that up?
Jets.
Jets.
Yeah. Green.
Jets.
Yeah. Green.
You're thinking
both
Foles.
Green. Yeah.
Let's not bring this guy here who knows all these things to correct my wrongs.
But the thing on Aguayo is that he might go down, or people are saying, is he the worst draft pick ever? Because you have to kind of go up and grab him in the second round. So I did a bit of research on that.
Is this Dan's top three?
This is not. This is just an added feature. A bite size.
A bite size, if worst you will. Ever.
Were you hoping someone else was going to segue into this? Yeah, but you segued your own point.
I just had to do that, yeah.
So Brian Anger in
this one guy called Russell Irxelben. Ever heard of him, Christian?
No, but I love the name.
It's a good name. So he had the longest field goal in NCAA in college, which was about 67 yards. So the Saints in 1979 went up to the 11th pick in the first round to pick him, which is ridiculous. And he was like a hybrid punter kicker. So he got drafted very high. He never actually beat out the starter for the Saints. He went in 6 seasons, 4 of 8, ended up being just a punter. Then in his first game, he chased a bad snap and got intercepted for a game-winning touchdown. Recover it. So he didn't last long in the league, maybe 5 years, and he's been just as terrible off it. In 2000, he became a financial advisor. In 2000, was convicted for conspiracy to commit securities fraud. Punter.
When's the film?
Was it a bloody Ponzi scheme or something?
And in 2013, was arrested as part of a Ponzi scheme.
Oh. Are you being serious?
Yeah, serious.
Charles, you know way too much about finance.
He's reading my listing right now.
Oh, no, right. No. That's classic Charles.
I would never do such a thing.
He's that guy in your group of friends that cheats at poker when you're playing for like a quid or something.
Absolutely not. Natural ability.
Jesus. Okay, well, at least this guy is not going to win the award for the worst draft pick ever then, really.
So positive.
Every cloud.
Head up, Aguirre.
The coach speech at the beginning of the year, what did you guys make of that? I know, was it one of you thought it felt very American, but I don't know how Christian feels about that.
I don't know what that means. Is that kind of a miracle on ice right now? Great moments are born from great opportunity.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Was that just uplifted from the Bucks guy's speech?
It sounded similar.
Yeah. Wasn't it the path to... The path to greatness.
Don't make it up.
No, it was like the path to greatness is always under construction or something, and they had it on the wall. They just feel like they can't just say something. It has to have some.
Who's they? Americans. You've got to be careful here.
just no.
We've got one in the studio, Charles.
No, coaches, and they feel like they need to have every word or every phrase has to have about 11 meanings that they can infer from. They can't just go, just try harder, play a bit better. They have to, like, you know.
We can't imagine Fergie doing similar, can we?
Yeah, no, you just think, like, you see these players warming up, practicing, like, putting themselves to the test. Do you see the coaches in the mirror practicing all these phrases pre-season?
No, but I definitely can see you doing that at home before a presentation.
And a podcast.
Fully dressed in his suit and a lovely...
He's done this podcast four times this morning.
And this is the worst one of the lot. Okay, anyway, that's enough of Hard Knocks. We'll kind of follow that as it carries on. Pre-season week one, that happened. The Eagles lost, everyone else won. Anything else that we can take here? Fantasy relevant news for us?
The Browns won, so that means...
All the crap teams won apart from the
Eagles. The Jags beat the Patriots,
exactly,
so we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Don't read too much into anything that you see in pre-season.
Did the Chargers play? Did they win?
Yeah, we lost quite heavily, but the first stringers got a good touchdown, so that's fine.
Right. So that basically counts as a win.
That's it, the first minute.
Do we know if the Colts played? You're a Colts fan, Christian. We should announce that.
The Colts didn't look that great. I don't put too much thought into preseason action. You know, you're going to get the starters in for, you know, a couple snaps and then move on. Yeah. And anyone who has a little bit of a tweak, a little bit of a strain, is not even sniffing preseason.
I feel like preseason, there's two things you're looking out for. One, that none of your big players get injured. And two, the guys that are like on the edge that are trying to get a place on the team. So someone that's not going to have that bigger impact, they're suddenly going to become, you know, the team's third wide receiver or their backup tight end or something.
Like, Well, I'd say that the really interesting, if you're going to pay attention to one thing, it's which running back is going out with the first team. That's always interesting. Barring injury, if all the running backs are healthy, who's coming out? And I think the only really the big interesting news coming out of week one was Thomas Rawls, especially after Pete Carroll had praised him the couple days before, coming out and starting with the first team on top of Eddie Lacy.
Even though Lacey's so lost all this weight.
I'm just listening to your voice and just being utterly seduced.
You don't sound like that in real life.
It's the power of the mic, my friend. The power of the mic.
I'm not getting that power.
Yeah, so you haven't switched the button on, Green.
Okay, so we don't need to take too much, a little bit about running backs, but apart from that, we don't need to
worry
too much.
I'll jump in and just say it was interesting seeing Ware for the Chiefs run through on a goal line touchdown. That was interesting for me. Ty Montgomery getting a fumble.
How sad is your
life?
Interesting
for me.
You really need football back in your life, don't you? My word. Okay, any other news in the NFL? Any other news? Zeke's the big one. Charles, talk to us about Zeke.
Well, tell us everything, Charles.
He has been handed a suspension for 6 games.
How many games are there in the regular season in the NFL?
16 over 17 weeks.
And how many fantasy games?
In the regular part of the season, there are 14, and then 2 in the playoffs. Okay.
And the Cowboys also have a week 7 bye.
Yeah. So, but that's a moot point because everyone has a bye. So, you know, that just it sounds nicer when people go.
Okay, so he's in a bit of trouble here.
He is. He's going to appeal it, and, you know, that could mean one of three things. A, he just...
You go back to a Phil Neville. One this.
It could mean one, but, that the appeal gets rejected, he gets a 6-match ban, and, you know, got to deal with it. One, two, he appeals and he only faces maybe a 3-match suspension, which, you know, is obviously a lot more preferable for anyone who wants to or has drafted him, and him and Zeke himself. Or three, the appeal process might potentially mean that the suspension can get pushed forward if it goes into
a bit like Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Brady got suspended about over a year after the incident happened. That is a
so it might not happen until like next year.
There is a possibility.
There's no chance it's going to be lengthened, is it?
No.
That would be quite funny. Well, I appeal this. Great, you're out for 8 games.
Yeah. It could be. They're saying they actually have different things, not just domestic violence. They've got other cases about him. Like other violent cases, other misdemeanors. They're saying that if he doesn't appeal...
I was just going to say, is this from that article that you sent us around yesterday saying Zeke could be thrown out the NFL?
That's a bit too hasty. But so if he does appeal, they'll go, okay, you can have 3 off for that, but we'll give you 4 for a different incident.
Now, Dan, considering all of these different things that Zeke might be facing, where would you select him? What round would you select him in an NFL draft?
I would
first
take...
First overall?
I would... Third.
Third round.
Third round. And this is considering prior to the suspension, he was basically in almost all drafts going 3rd overall in the first round.
I think we're gonna definitely get into that in the next section because someone in this room did draft him rather early. So we'll get into that in a second.
To be seen.
But there's a bit of other news we need to clear up, which there's been a bit of movement around the NFL.
Trady.
Yeah, who's gone where?
Sammy Watkins, the first round pick from the Buffalo Bills, who they traded up to get him. In the year where all the wide receivers, you know, Mike Evans and Odell Beckham, they all came out of, Watkins was the main guy in that year. They've traded him away to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a cornerback and a second round pick next year.
Who's done better out of that?
I mean, they both done, and obviously, both in a trade, both teams. Ideally, you know, come out winners because they need different things.
Yeah.
Well, no. So I think from what both of us perspectives, they both have done all right because they clearly wanted to cut ties with Watkins because he's had a lot of injuries over his career. He's got to be paid next year because he's got coming out of his rookie contract and maybe they didn't want to be able to be forced to pay him big money. Exactly. But, you know, they're clearly now in a situation where they want to just start rebuilding through the draft. They've got next year and they've now got 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks,
and they've replaced
and
him with Jordan Matthews, haven't they?
They have, yeah. He's not a wonderful wide receiver, but he's certainly very good.
I think from a fantasy perspective, it's interesting because Sammy Watkins was, you know, regarded as, you know, one of the you know, top 10, top 15 wide receivers and was going probably in the, like, end of the third, fourth round. Suddenly, he's going to the Rams. We have no idea, kind of, I mean, Goff didn't do much last year. We have no idea really what their offense is going to be like. He's suddenly now just like a bit of a gamble.
Yeah. Although you really liked Goff, didn't you?
I did like Goff. He made like four unbelievable passes. Yeah, more than nothing.
That's good scouting. And now J-Matt has got the injury bug. He's now hurt his, he's got a chest infection.
Where was he from? He was at the Eagles, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah.
Goes fly.
Yeah. No, you're involved.
Yeah. What do you mean I'm involved?
Well, your team's involved.
Yeah, I know. I'm personally not involved in Jordan Matthews' career. He can piss off now. He doesn't play for Eagles. So that's the main news. Bit of trading. Zeke's obviously big. And that now leads very much into fantasy. We all had our fantasy draft last night. Obviously, this isn't the podcast league. This is our friends league.
Yeah. Not to say that we're not friendly with our listeners.
Thanks, Charles. We don't want to dwell on this because people aren't in the league, but people are going to want to hear a little bit about what happened. The main thing that happened, and as Christian rightly asks, where do you take Zeke now he's suspended? Charles, you took him, and you took him early.
I panicked. I think it's safe to say I was planning on taking Jordy Nelson in the second round. And going running back wide receiver because I took Devonta Freeman in the first round. He got picked the pick before me, and I was not expecting that. And so I just kind of thought, from the players that are left, I think I'm just going to bite the bullet and hope that either I can, you know, withstand the first 6 weeks and be still within a chance of making the playoffs.
This is just so tragic. Hearing this,
the swan
really,
song.
It's really, it really is tragic.
For a man
who does hundreds of mock drafts, last night, Charles, was frankly shambolic. You were sat there moaning, basically how you'd gone, everything had gone wrong. You hadn't been prepared for this. You had your page set to wide receivers for half the time.
Yeah, you weren't
even looking at the right page. For a man who was more prepared than anyone for anything ever in life, I have never ever known such absolute shambolic.
A quote from Charles. He actually said he couldn't sleep last night because of what happened.
What
during
went wrong,
our draft.
Charles?
Okay, this is a tip.
We had a lovely Turkish meal beforehand.
I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb to explain what not to do in a draft. What you shouldn't do is when you're looking at the pool of players that are available to you, you can filter by position. I highly recommend you don't do that.
Or don't leave it on there.
Yeah, because you might forget you've done it. Like I kind of did when I selected the wide receiver filter and forgot that any other players existed.
Apart from Devonta Freeman, who's now injured for the rest of the life, so you've now got your two main running backs.
Let's not get carried away.
I'm joking. Any other bad picks from you, Charles?
Going back to Zeke Elliott, let's not forget that last year...
He was great, but he's now suspended.
No. Last year, Le'Veon Bell was suspended, but, albeit it was only for four games, but... He fell to the end of the second round, and in hindsight, pretty much anyone who had Le'Veon Bell won. I was in the playoffs or won their league.
You just made that up. There's hundreds of thousands of fantasy leagues.
He was one of the best fantasy performers.
He finished a third running back.
Yeah. Look, there's a good chance Zeke's going to come back and be a beast. There's a good chance it will get reduced, and it might look okay.
And that's exactly what I was gambling on. I think when he comes back, I'm going to have to go on a big run, and he's going to carry me.
This just screams of when we played golf with Charles last week, and you know he missed his shot, and he was like, "If only I was wearing the right footwear, you know, this would have gone 200 yards."
My shoe basically fell off.
Charles is the guy. The last comment on Charles's drafting technique is: any player that anyone has ever picked, you'll then hear a half a second delay, and then go, "Oh, I was going to pick him. I had him down to pick." Charles, is that true?
No, that's not true.
Spot on.
Enough having a go at Charles, because Greeny, your team was frankly... Actually, you're right. Greeny, talk us through your team, your fantasy team. Quick highlights. Who were your best three players?
Best three, I went a tripod of running backs. I had Le'Veon Bell, I had Jay Ajayi, who fell to me at the end of the second,
Amazing. And
then I ended up with going Gurley. I panicked a bit in the third. I thought, do I really want three running backs? And I thought, yeah, he's got
the best value at the time.
That is strong. Yeah. Charles, who are your three best? Forgetting the worst, who are the three best players for you?
I actually do like my team. I've got Devonta Freeman and Ezekiel Elliott.
Suspension.
And Isaiah Crowell plays for the Browns. I think.
Browns. Also, we've got running backs galore.
Between the two of us, we stole all the running backs.
Yeah, you kind of did. Christian, yeah. Who are your three best, would you say, or who are your players from your team that you're most excited about?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's certain players that fall to you at certain points in the draft, and that's really where they should be picked. They're not value picks. What gets me excited is getting that steal, seeing that one guy, and you say, I don't think that guy's going to be there. And this comes back a little bit to my tip to any listeners. If you're going into your draft in the next few weeks, a lot of people are in NFL.com, Yahoo, and you're gonna take a look at the rankings that Yahoo or NFL.com provides for you. But these rarely get updated. Maybe for big injuries and suspensions, they'll update them. But this is based off of three or four experts. And I really highly recommend going to something like a fantasypros.com and getting their list, putting in your scoring settings.
Really, really hope they're paying us for you saying that.
trust me, they've paid out enough in leagues that I've won. Wow, that's really a great segment there. And so go to fantasypros.com and put in your league settings and print out a...
Any other website.
Code Christian.
What's great about something like Fantasy Pros, I mean, literally, they're the best of this. They have a consensus ranking from all, like, the top experts, and those tend to be the most accurate. Print that out, and at least you have a, in my mind, a much more accurate ranking of, like, who's good and who's bad.
So who are your steals? Who was your steal, your biggest steal of the day?
I think my biggest steal was Andrew Luck.
Oh,
I think people...
that's the player I wanted when I was on the wide receiver.
If you could just rewind this podcast to about a minute ago when I said, Charles always says...
that was the one... Okay, that's Christian. Nights over.
Yeah, so someone like Andrew Luck, you know, I think people, there's a lot of uncertainty to go along with him, and Jim Irsay and the Pagano have come out and said, at worst, he could be he could miss week one, but he should definitely be back for week two.
When did you get him? Why was he a steal?
I got him pretty late. I believe it was the end of the eighth, the beginning of the ninth round, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, this is a guy who a lot of people have ranked, you know, no injury, fourth quarterback off the board. And really, in terms of talent and the position he is on the team, in terms of what's around him, he has an opportunity to, if everything falls right, to be the number one quarterback at the end of the season. Yeah. It's certainly up there. And to grab someone like that in the ninth round is really spectacular. I was really happy with that.
Fair play. JP, who's your best three or best player that you picked?
I mean, I started off, I was 10th pick out of 10, so I was on the turn. I just started off with Melvin Gordon and AJ Green. Really happy, running back, wide receiver. Brandon Cooks, I'd originally, you know, a couple of months ago when we were getting back into NFL, wasn't too high on Cooks, but over the last few weeks I've, you know, told myself and read stuff and really bought in, you know, if you've got Tom Brady throwing to you, you're gonna do good things. In terms of like my favourite picks, I like to wait late on a quarterback, so 10th round, Russell Wilson's there waiting for me, and it just seemed too good a value to not take him right there.
He wouldn't always be there, would he? But that was quite rare.
He dropped. I mean, I don't know how, I don't know why, but he was there, and I snapped him up.
You were there to take him.
Yeah, I was also pretty happy. Like, I don't know, Christian wasn't too sure on this, but Doug Martin in the eighth round.
Yeah.
I mean, he's suspended as well for the first three games, but if he comes back and he gets that starting job, which is widely expected, we'll see on Hard Knocks, I'm not sure.
Who's his backup?
Jaquizz Rogers.
Who I draft.
Jaquizz Rogers.
So, I mean, if you're getting a starting running back in the eighth round, like, you've got to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. I guess for me and Tom, taking Dan Bailey in the penultimate was pretty good.
When your top pick's a kicker, you know. Yeah.
I'm quite happy. I've got the app up now.
You took Kelsey first pick in the first round, didn't
I didn't
you?
Take him in the first round, but we did take him. I promised on this podcast that we would take him. We did. I think we took him in the fourth or something like that. Yeah. We went for LeSean McCoy as our first pick. I was choosing between him and Evans. I think JP persuaded me to go Shady, which I'm happy with.
Absolutely. Arse.
So I'm Shady's the one I'm most excited about. Taking Darren Sproles, because I think that Blount might not. I think he's going to challenge. I think he's going to challenge Blount at the Eagles. But again, when a team wins a Super Bowl, two running backs have to perform.
They're both going to be productive.
Exactly, they're both going to do well.
And in terms of tips, after listening to the Hard Knocks with Dirk Cutter, I had a very similar message to my team. I was like, I know some of you are very capable of like winning me weeks with 40 points, but I don't want you in my team. I don't want you getting 40 points one week and 4 points the next week. I want 10s, 11s every week. So if you're Mark Ingram, get out of there. You're not getting on this list.
When did you have this chat with them?
Was this in the mirror?
This was on the second out of the four this morning, right?
Did you go home and start talking to your girlfriend about your draft? You did, didn't you?
She didn't want to know. She did
not care. Yeah,
yeah, the sign on top of the clubhouse to Dan's clubhouse is mediocrity only. Nothing exceptional, please.
If you're going to do a decent enough job, then come to Daddy. Okay, fair enough. Any other tips? Any other final tips? JP, do you have one? Greeny's pointing at JP. JP, you have a tip
for us.
Well,
we were talking about this earlier.
I was just pointing away from Charles, to be honest. Oh.
When I'm drafting, I quite like, especially being on the turn, so I take two players at a time. I quite like taking one player who I know is going to be consistent week in, week out, like those 10s, 11s Greeny was talking about, and then a guy with, you know, really high upside. So just one example is my fifth and sixth pick. So I took Greg Olsen, tight end for the Panthers.
Solid.
You know he's going to get targets, he's going to get that yardage, and he's going to get touchdowns here and there. And then I took Tyreek Hill in the sixth as my flex option, who, you know, some weeks he's got that capability to win you weeks.
Yeah.
And then there's others where, you know, he might just get, you know, four catches.
They'll be throwing it to Kelsey.
Yeah. Once again, we're going to work in tandem.
Yeah, we are, yeah. We can handcuff each other.
I did exactly the same thing as JP. Well, I'll go for a safe pick in Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, so maybe the plan isn't that foolproof if you did it.
and Martavis Bryant, who can explode one week, and, you know, it's a good idea.
My tip is to do the draft completely naked, which is what I did, and that's why Christian was early today.
Probably why I was so panicked.
That's why Zeke went in the second. Okay, time for halftime snacks, and a word from our actual sponsor, not Christian's made-up one. We are sponsored by Zing Zing, MSG-free Chinese. We've got a new code, because I was really struggling to read it out, so I had to request from the powers that be. So to get 20% off of your food at Zing Zing, you can use the code 20bites. Very simple. Even I can say it. 20 bites. They are all over London. I can't be asked to read out their locations. There's too many. They're bloody everywhere. They are very tasty, and we have ours hopefully arriving soon.
That's Bites. B-I-T-E-Z.
Thanks, Charles. Okay, so let's move on to the second half of the show. Is everyone okay? No toilet breaks? Christian, you're okay?
I'm doing well. I mean, couple glasses of wine, but...
You better wrap this bad boy up. NFL conference divisions, we've gone through a few of these. Luckily, Christian, you're here. You're going to take my teams for me. So you've all been allocated a team from two divisions. JP, do you want to provide us a very short bit of background? And we're going to start with the AFC North. I've got JP here, but you look completely bemused.
I didn't read that in the rundown, I have no idea.
Okay, does anyone know anything about the AFC North? Or should we just go straight into the teams? Scared. He's gone white.
Thanks for the heads up.
I only reminded you four times, but...
Okay, I'll do it.
You should know enough.
I'll do the AFC North is made up of four teams who all play in the National Football League. They are made up of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns. God, I'm just checking I know that because I've just got the surname. The Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals.
There we
correct?
Go. Yeah.
Well done.
God, I know so much.
So without looking at the history, you'd expect the Ravens and the Steelers to have won the most.
I thought Adley was doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you'd stopped. I thought that's all you knew.
No. What I would say is throughout history... Probably Steelers and maybe the Ravens are the most successful teams. I look at that list and I think, God, that's actually a really bad bunch of teams apart from the Steelers. What do you guys think about that? Bengals are okay.
They're very fierce. They're very rough and rugged. It's very intense rivalries. It's hard to get a win.
But
they're
not many. There's not many.
Teams.
You don't look at that and think, apart from the Steelers, no one there is going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, the Ravens won it not too long ago.
They've all won the Super Bowl in the last 8 years. But, oh, wait, apart from the Browns.
Is that true?
Apart from the Browns and the Bengals.
Should we just stop guessing and actually go through what we do know? Because we're now just literally...
The
Ravens
won and the Steelers have won in the last 10 years.
Again, if that's not true,
so
I apologise.
What we'd agreed on before, you just put in a random stat that just disagree with everything.
Right, Greeny, talk to the Steelers. Anything you know about them that's actually true and also fantasy players to be aware of?
All right, let's go through. So Lev Bell, one of the best running backs in the league. Even after we mentioned before, even missing 3-4 games last year, finishes the fifth best running back. Shows how when he's on the field, he's an incredible talent. Receives the ball, very patient runner. Finished number two running back two seasons in 2014. And he'll be picked the second pick, first, second pick this year. Antonio Brown, best wide receiver in the league. He'll go third pick in most fantasy drafts. He's finished third, first, and first as a wide receiver the last 3 years. Shows how productive as a fantasy.
Yeah,
very
consistent, too much
a productive monster. Big Ben, threats of retirement, lots of injuries. Was a top five QB a few years ago, but he's not as mobile or healthy. And then Martavis Bryant, he's got a lot of upside. Not yet cleared to play in the NFL, but he should give you dividends on the odd game.
Right, it's like another Charles pick that might not be playing this year.
Oh, gosh, he'll thrive.
Add to Devonta Freeman's concussion today as well.
It's not looking good, Charlesy. But when you're going to be talking about the Bengals in a minute,
when I win, I'll be the last one laughing. So right.
You'll be the only one laughing. JP, we've given you the Browns, your team.
Yes,
talk
my
to us
team.
About them.
So forget any Browns quarterback. Don't take their defense or their kicker. Isaiah Crowell, you can take him.
I did. Do you actually like one of my picks?
I do. He was really productive in a very bad Browns offense last year. He was used quite a lot more than expected in the passing game too, with their improved O-line as well, capable of breaking those big plays. You know, end of the third round, that's kind of where he's going at the moment, so take him. And then their wide receivers, I mean, you've got Coleman, who I said that could have a potential breakout this year on a previous podcast, and Kenny Britt. I mean, you're not taking them till the later rounds in the drafts. But
did they go in ours? Do we know?
Yeah, I think they both went. Britt's your, like I was saying before, with sort of the consistent and high upside. So you've got Britt, who's going to get you sort of like 7-8 points a week, maybe with a touchdown. And then you've got Coleman, who's capable of getting those sort of 1-2 touchdowns each week. And then just one I want to add in, very much depending on who's QB, but Njoku, if Brock Osweiler somehow gets the starting job, we know last year at the Texans, he targeted his tight end so much, Fedorowicz, I think it was, yeah, that he actually became kind of fantasy relevant. So Njoku, rookie tight end, normally wouldn't touch him, but if Brock's the quarterback, he may become relevant.
One to look out for. Okay, I like that tip. Christian, the Baltimore Ravens, what can you tell us about them in 60 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of fantasy targets, I see three main guys you're going to want to draft from the Ravens. There's Jeremy Maclin, the wide receiver, originally cut from the Kansas City Chiefs for salary cap reasons. He was picked up by Baltimore and is going to slot right in. He's going to be in there for two wide receiver sets, probably in the slot for three wide receiver sets.
No idea what that means.
What's that going to do with fantasy?
It means he's going to play a lot.
Okay.
And he had a little bit of an injury season last year, but in 2015 had 87 catches for about 1,000 yards and like 8 touchdowns. So, you know, there's a big opportunity for him for a Ravens team that threw the ball more than any other team in the NFL last season. You also have another guy coming in, Danny Woodhead, over from the Chargers. This is a running back who's specializes in pass catching and also red zone usage. Again, injury issues last year, but in 2015 had 80 catches for 750 yards and 9 total touchdowns, along with like 300 yards on the ground. So somebody who in that offense could really excel with the loss of Steve Smith. There's a lot of like underneath targets missing. And I guess the last guy really quickly is Terrence West, who's
you have to look up his name there.
Yeah,
it was, along with the cough,
the old look up and cough,
the look up and cough,
the classic.
Come on, welcome to the 60 seconds. He's on a 3 minute.
Give us one line on him.
Terrence West, more valuable in standard leagues than PPR.
That's a good tip. That was a good line, Charles. You got 10 seconds, Bengals.
Draft AJ Green. He's an absolute monster wide receiver. He's just, you know, he'll go in the first round. Joe Mixon is a rookie running back, you know, ever so talented, but he has issues coming out of college. And also, he's got Jeremy Hill there who could easily take all the touchdown work. Gio Bernard is a pass catching guy. It remains to be seen how much work he'll get throughout the season, and maybe you have to wait for his role to fully develop, but he could be very good. The talent's there, undoubtedly. Andy Dalton, I like him as a late round quarterback flyer. You know,
really,
yeah, he's got not only got AJ Green, but he's also got John Ross, the new rookie, as another threat.
I do always think about that. Like, I always think if you've got wide receivers that are going to do really well, then surely the quarterback has to do well. Otherwise,
absolutely. Yeah. And also they've got Tyler Eifert, the tight end. He's a touchdown machine. When he's healthy, you know, he's always a threat. So, you know, they've got some good attacking options. Watch
plenty
out.
Of pickings in the AFC North. What about the AFC South? Christian, do you know anything about this? You probably should, because your team are in them, the Colts.
Yeah, so I've been a Colts fan for a pretty long time now. And the AFC South's interesting. So the division was created in 2002 when the NFL expanded to 32 teams. You had the addition of the Texans and the Jaguars. They created this division. And, so the gem of the division has been my Colts. So nine-time division winners. You can compare that to Texans have four, Titans have two.
Jags?
I believe the Jags have zero. I believe the Jags
do
have zero.
Do we have any Jags
do we
fans?
Have zero?
So the Jags are in a situation. I mean, the Jags have no winning season since 2007. and if you're looking at great players that have come out of AFC South, I don't know if anyone would argue that the top five best players are all Colts. I mean, you got Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James.
He fits in well in this podcast. He's talking good about his own team.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can maybe make an argument for Eddie George, but it's not.
Fred Taylor.
Also, again, not in the same class what about, as Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk.
What about this year in the Colts? Who is fantasy relevant, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, so we mentioned before Andrew Luck. This is a guy who's probably going to end up missing week one, come back week two. Upside to be the top quarterback in NFL fantasy. And you have T.Y. Hilton, his top target. This isn't a big red zone guy, but he led the league in receiving yards last year. Dynamic player. Great nickname as well, the Ghost.
Ooh, I like that.
So gotta love him. And
very
also,
ugly, though.
What?
Very what?
Very ugly.
Who is?
It's not that T.Y. kind of Hilton. Podcast.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
T.Y., if you're listening, please tweet your hate at Charles.
I'm sure he really cares. Yeah.
you have a late round tight end who a lot of people like as a sleeper, Doyle, and this is a guy who's going to be taking over the tight end position now that they've traded away Dwayne Allen. The one thing we know about Andrew Luck, loves throwing to the tight end.
What about Gore? Does he play for them?
Yeah,
I've got him. So. Are you going to mention him or not?
impatient. I mean, Frank Gore, I'm not a personal fan. Frank Gore's had an amazing career. This is a man who's 34 years old, who has a lot of tread on the tires. From a fantasy perspective, I'm not going to put anything into Gore. He's no longer somebody who's being used on third downs. He's no longer someone who's being used. Well, you can't give too much advice. He's no longer someone who's being used very much in the red zone. Robert Turbin's taking over for that. So I would not recommend drafting Frank Gore in any
position. Right, we're moving on now. Greeny, the Titans.
All right, let's go quick. We got DeMarco Murray. He's, when he plays 16 games, extremely productive and finishes a top five running back, especially with that great offensive line. Although he's approaching 30 and he's got Derrick Henry eating into his carries, should still go in the top for two rounds. Delanie Walker was a top five tight end the last 2 years with seven touchdowns and between 800 and 1,000 yards. I expect that to continue. I drafted him. I like him. Although I'm hoping Eric Decker doesn't eat into too many of those touchdowns. You got Mariota. A lot of people are liking. I think he's going to take this massive jump considering how efficient he was in the red zone last year. I just don't think he's that elite. And then Eric Decker, I mentioned, very productive when he was at the Jets and the Broncos. Don't really know how he'll fit into that Titans offense, but he's a good late round flyer.
Okay, nice and quick like that. Charlesy, follow suit with the Jags,
the mighty Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah,
about to win their first AFC.
Yeah, just
title.
Give us the players, Charles.
Well, I have to fill some time because there aren't that many.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
No, Leonard Fournette, rookie running back, the main man. The whole offense is going to be very run central.
When does he go?
He'll probably be going late second round, maybe. Might fall to early third, but I think he could be a very good pick. They want to use him as much as possible. Blake Bortles is a quarterback, and whilst he's known for being pretty bad in NFL. In fantasy, the last 2 years has finished as a top 12 quarterback.
Where did he go in our draft?
He went undrafted as a mini quarterback.
Similar to Dalton, which you endorsed only a moment ago.
Well, I might pick him up. I was actually saying maybe don't draft Bortles this year because they're going to shift
their game. He's completing utter shite.
This is not a 2018 fantasy podcast.
Charles, if you could actually give us the list of all the players not to draft, that'd be helpful.
Very rude.
Nearly had you there.
I tried not to swear. That was the pause. Alan Robinson, main wide receiver, 2 years ago had 1,400 yards and I think 14 touchdowns, was an absolute monster. Last year, not so good because obviously Bortles' play was, a massive decline.
Pants.
This year, now with Leonard Fournette coming as well, hopefully should open up a lot more room for him so they can't be double marked. And, he could have a comeback season. Alan Hearns and Marquise Lee could be late round flyers because they could get some of the other work.
JP, finish us off with the Houston Texans.
This should be a nice and quick one. There's only a couple of players that I like on their team. You've got Lamar Miller, really disappointed fantasy owners last year, but at the end of the day, he's a potential three down back, and he should hopefully be a lot more productive in his second year with the Texans.
I really hope so. Yeah.
Do you have him?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he'll be going sort of. He's dropped to sort of the end of the third round, so around that point.
Oh, yeah, that's
where you're taking.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
And then you've got DeAndre Hopkins as well. I mean, he's a super talented wide receiver, but right now we're not sure who's going to be throwing him the ball, but at the end of the day, he's the main man for the Texans. He's the one that's going to get majority of the targets. Again, he disappointed last year thanks to Big Brock, but look for him to bounce back this year, and, he'll be going again sort of late third, early fourth, so.
And their defense is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Yeah, I wasn't going to mention them, but Texans defense, they're being drafted as sort of a top four, top five ranked defense, so give them a go and you get to support JJ Watt each week.
Yeah, that's fun. Absolutely.
Draft the Jags D as well.
We might have to miss out Greeny, so I'm joking. Greeny's top three.
All right. Okay, so big contracts are being signed this offseason. You're giving a lot of young guys a lot of money, which means they're going to make some very stupid decisions for our enjoyment. So I'm going to take you through my top three is stupid purchases players have made.
Okay.
All right. So number three, early in 2011, T.O. Terrell Owens spends $2 million investing in an Alabama entertainment complex, which had electronic bingo. Later, an update of 2011, the project violated NFL policy of gambling and devices are used against Alabama law. He loses $2 million on a stupid bingo hall.
Okay. Classic Terrell, I think.
Yeah. Chad Okosinko, the only guy who would change his name to reflect his NFL number. He was Chad Johnson. He bought a lorry, which he would drive to the games, which is quite cool, actually. He then bought a pet tiger and also had the guys from the TV show Tanked on Animal Planet build him a shark tank in his living room and an arch tank aquarium over his bed.
These guys just get paid so much money.
They might have had lasers. And my favourite is Fred Smoot and Lance Johnston. Do you know those guys?
No, I don't, Dan.
Every time Greeny says a name that he thinks he might know more than Christian, he just has to show off.
Were the apparent ringleaders of a group of Vikings players who purchased a cruise ship to be used for orgies.
No way. Yeah. Oh, yes.
NFL in the 70s. Gotta love it.
God. How much of a match ban would they get for that?
They'd probably get a high five from
Roger
Goodell. So apparently, there were about 90 players aboard the boat.
And what happened on this boat?
Orgies.
I will not say from my experience.
We'll leave it to the
Brits in the end zone after dark.
I like that. We should definitely do that. Okay, I like that. That was a good top three, Greeny. We're going to end on your questions that you sent us. Let's go through these really quickly. We've got Rob Wastenenny. Would you give Johnny Manziel another shot since it has been reported that he has cleaned up his act? Christian, would you?
Yeah, there's no way. If I'm a coach, I want a quarterback as a leader of my team who can be responsible and can handle the all the responsibilities in terms of learning the playbook and leading the team. And so no Johnny Manziel for me.
If you look at the maturity of Winston on Hard Knocks, I think that kind of shows you, doesn't it? Yeah.
Chalk and cheese.
Yeah. Ryan asks, how big will Dak Prescott be affected by Zeke missing six games? Can McFadden or Morris help Cowboys get to 3-3 in his absence, as per Jerry Jones? JP?
I actually think it's going to be really interesting to see how Dak adapts to this situation when he suddenly can't be fully reliant on Zeke each week. I actually think it's going to benefit Dez Bryant the most. I think more targets are going to be coming his way, especially in the red zone. In terms of McFadden and Morris, I mean, they're not Zeke. They're very capable. You know, you've still got the Cowboys O-line. It's not as good as it once was, but it's, you know, it's still up there. You know, it was just a couple of years ago McFadden ran for over 1,000 yards. So I think they'll do all right, but I think the most we're going to see, the biggest difference is in Dez Bryant.
Okay. Is that Alfred Morris, the one who Alfred was here at the Redskins?
Yes, yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's now the third choice.
Yeah.
Wow, things really went downhill, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Alfie. Jack asks, with Bills trading Watkins and gaining two picks in the first three rounds next year, is this a new trend? Charles, is it?
Well, I think so. I mean, obviously the Browns have been doing it the last few years, trying to build through the draft. And I think, you know, to actually have a sustainable way of doing things, it's probably the best way of doing it. I mean, you know, to put it in perspective, it's a bit like the way Spurs sort of are trying to bring through homegrown players as opposed to going out and buying players like Man City and Chelsea, because it's not sustainable. And especially when there's a salary cap in place, you can't just go buy players. So the draft is where you need all your talent. And so if you feel like...
Not quite sure I see the link.
Bringing players through as opposed to buying them.
But they're not bringing them through, they're picking them from the draft.
Through the youth, through, anyway.
Well, the question is, are they tanking on purpose for a year so that they can gain picks?
We spoke about that another, but that's weird if people are actually doing that.
But I don't think they're going to necessarily tank. They're just, they know that their team now isn't necessarily close enough to be able to, we're not like only one or two pieces away. We need to really kind of overhaul.
We need a lot.
So let's build up and then, you know, still be a good team now and try and threaten, but in three or four years down the line, once we've got a load of good new young players, we should be even more powerful.
Okay. Fair enough. Patrick saw an orange Maziel, I don't know if that's a typo, t-shirt in Sainsbury's earlier.
Maziel, who we're just talking about.
Yeah, so it is
one
a typo,
minute ago,
because
right.
It's written yeah. Maziel. So let's not have a go at me. It might be another player I don't know, all right? Pricks. Well, he saw Maziel's t-shirt in Sainsbury's earlier, which got him thinking, what's the piece of merchandise that you most regret buying? This has to be a question for you, Greeny.
There must be
you
so
definitely
much.
Everything you own.
A load of tut.
I went very fanboy a number of years ago. I probably got t-shirts of a good 15 teams. But my favourite one I bought was this Lions fake helmet.
I remember that, I think.
The stupid stuff I bought is I've got this Cowboys,
oh, that wasn't the stupid thing.
Cowboys wooden picket sign that I had saying welcome to Cowboys Stadium.
Why
so I've
am
got
I the
a
one
lot
that
of
gets slated for supporting enough. A lot of teams, and he's openly said he's bought 15 teams worth of crap.
I don't... You openly said you supported them for periods of time based on owning them.
I didn't.
I don't need it. I think we said it.
Yeah, yeah. That
no, I remember him being a Seahawks fan originally because he had the jumper.
Anyway, guys, Patrick has another question. Which fantasy players did you all try to avoid in your draft due to injury, suspension, or other circumstances? Me, Zeke. Isn't it about you, Christian? Would you reckon? Zeke?
I'd also go with Zeke.
Yeah.
What about you,
Greeny?
I'll say Zeke.
Probably
for this,
JP.
For this
Zeke. Probably Zeke. Charles, did you avoid
in
Zeke?
In hindsight, Zeke. No one. Pick
everyone. It doesn't matter if they're injured.
If there's good value, pick them. You know, there shouldn't really be a limit. I mean, JP picked Mixon. He punched a woman. You know,
this reflective on me now?
Yeah. So that let you
JP.
You know,
can you
let,
quietly
be
leave.
A judge on JP on that?
Greeny, anyone you avoided?
Well, Allen Robinson. So I'm a big fan of him, and I love him to bits. I even bought this T-shirt with a celebration I named after him. He broke my heart last year, and I'm just not ready for it again. I can't let him take me through that.
Anyone else that anyone wants to chat about or not?
I mean, I said it on a previous one, but Eddie Lacy, I didn't want to touch this year, no matter what round
fatty.
He fell in. And I mean, to be honest, Sammy Watkins, because of that move.
Yeah.
I didn't want to touch him until he became a value. So I think he got taken actually in like the sixth round in our draft, where suddenly he becomes quite attractive there. Yeah. But
any
I didn't want to take him
any
earlier.
Christian?
Yeah, to be honest, my pick was Sammy. And it's the uncertainty. I mean, he's in a similar offense. It was a run-first offense, just like he had with Shady. But you have no idea what Goff is going to give you in that second year. And I just don't know how they're going to be used. You can't use an early pick on that.
Fair enough. Seb Kennedy, which rookie will have the greatest impact on his team in his rookie season? I don't know. Who wants to answer that one? Christian, do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Dalvin Cook fan. I'd say this. He's already been placed as the...
I think you mispronounced Leonard Fournette there.
Oh, yeah. no mistake. This is kind of like Fournette. He's been installed as the number one running back. And
for the Vikings, right?
Yes, for the Vikings. And I see him working at for all three downs. In the first preseason game, I love that he was targeted four times, caught all four passes. And he's someone who I loved in college, and I think he's going to have a great first year in the NFL.
What about when Latavius Murray is back from injury? Will he not take a lot of the first and second down work and maybe some of the goal line work?
I think you might see a little bit of Latavius Murray in the goal line. Do you know the thing about Murray is he's not very good. So I don't
know. they paid him, and he's built a bit bigger than Cook is, and you might be using him in different ways.
Yeah, no, I
did
do
you
see
take
him taking
Murray
some
or something,
of the.
Charles?
No. Right. Just want him to say Fournette.
Okay. Any other rookies that we're excited about? I'm excited about who's the guy I took and everyone sort of like squealed after.
Corey Davis.
Yeah. I'm very excited about him. Yeah, to prove you all wrong.
Let's put it in perspective. In Greeny's rundown of the Titans, he didn't even get mentioned. So,
fuck's sake. Is he that bad? No, I have Tom next to me on like a laptop. On like all we did, by the way, throughout that draft was, oh, do we take Watkins or this guy? We type in Watkins versus this guy, and it would come up with like a page from like 2015 of like these people. Anyway, so Tom thought it was a good idea. Had to let him.
He
pick
was the
someone.
First wide receiver taken in the NFL draft. He could be very, very.
They've got
good.
A lot of targets, though, don't they? To go to.
Here's the thing with the Titans. Again, you got a team that built to pound the football. Like they don't throw that much, and the team's added a lot of wide receiver talent in both Corey Davis and Eric Decker. So you kind of there's not a lot of targets.
I can see
to go
a
around.
Trade Corey Davis. I think Zach would love a bit of Corey Davis.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to the podcast, so he won't realize where you suddenly got a change of heart.
Is that
from.
Zero RB?
No, that's Lee.
That was Lee. I could trade with Lee as well. Yeah. Anyway. There's one final question, which is coming from James Spilling. Who is the best backup running back in the league for fantasy? JP?
Dalvin Cook.
Who's the best? Ooh. Who says the best backup?
Best backup?
I'll jump in. No.
Go on, Greeny.
Tevin Coleman.
Oh, well, but you've only said that now because Freeman's injured. Would you have said that anyway?
Probably.
I think Derek Henry.
But you're speaking for Greeny.
Yes, I would, because
you were right.
He's done that in the NFL. And I think Derek Henry would be a great one as well. If DeMarco Murray goes down, Henry is behind a great O-line. He's got a really great opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Sproles, maybe? Is it my team?
If you're in a really deep league and you're a big fan of handcuffs, I think Jonathan Williams with Buffalo. I mean, this is a team that doesn't really have much else other than Shady. And Jonathan Williams is a talented guy. And if Shady goes down, he's stepping in and he's an RB1 instantly.
Yeah. And also last season, Gillislee, even when McCoy was fit, got about 10 touchdowns. So there's definitely work to, you know, fantasy value to be had.
Another one of my players, and you're now saying he's not going to get as much play. It's really upsetting.
Should we just trade teams?
Don't worry, Josh.
What about Jonathan Stewart? I got him as well. Because I thought McCaffrey, that was good because McCaffrey's a rookie, he might just be crap.
Yeah, and he was taking eighth overall. They're probably going to put a lot of investment in trying to keep him.
I like that pick. I think he'll
start. Thank you, Greeny.
Sympathy.
Appreciate that, yeah. Okay, Charlie, your trivia question before we sign off. Are you here?
Is he still there?
All right, guys.
Here he is.
Fantastic. How was the pub? Show.
Did you hear any of it?
About half.
That's all
right. Right, so to explain to all of you, there are three questions you can pick from. I'm going to give you the title of each. You've got Super Bowl I, winning, or racial diversity.
Oh my God.
I think let's let Christian decide.
Yeah, go on, Christian. Pick one. Were you listening?
He wasn't listening.
Just pick one, two, or three.
Don't pick one or three.
I'll pick two.
All right, so hashtag winning. Who has the most consecutive games won, including playoffs?
Patriots. No, so we're not going to be Patriots.
Is it a team or a player?
Oh. Team.
Okay.
Would it be Patriots if he asked that?
Steelers.
I'm going to go Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, they went 16.
Ravens.
72.
I'm going to go Giants.
Green. The sound an old man makes.
What did everyone say?
Ravens, Dolphins, Steelers, and can't even remember.
Did he say Giants?
Giants, JP said, I think, yeah.
Christ,
Charlie?
Bears.
What's the answer?
It's the Patriots.
Oh, why did I say that?
We all thought it. Oh, that's
Lame.
Too obvious.
Jesus.
Oh, for goodness sake.
When was
in
that?
2003 and to 2004, they won 21 games in a row.
Oh, God. I mean,
I'm boring.
That's so annoying because we all were like, oh, that's just too obvious.
Well, we just also all hate the Patriots. Or at least I hope we do.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's the end of the show. So we've got JP's actually run out. He's zing have arrived. So he's done. So he's thrown the chair.
I thought that was a halftime show thing.
Dramatic.
He's on to use his 20 bytes code and to get 100% off.
Well slipped in there, very casually. You can get us on Twitter at Brits_Endzone. Christian, thanks for being on the show. You enjoyed it?
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate
it. Can I get you on the phone maybe for another episode? Get you down the line? We'll just pick up another American off the street. And
yeah, exactly.
They'll never have a voice as good as yours. Cool. Thanks, everyone. Charlie, thank you. Thank you very much, Charlie. Cheers.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Cheers, Charlie.
See you guys.
Quick bonus for Bytes fans here, and a final message from me, Jerry Springer style. Over the years, there's been some great partnerships. You've got so many to choose from. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, Tom Brady and Gronk, Greeny in his tight white jeans, Eagles in my disappointment. But there's a new one to trump them all, a blossoming one. This week, our very own presenter and founder, JP, got engaged. What this means for Bytes, we don't know yet. It's too early to tell. Hopefully it won't stop him from coming round to mine and watching Red Zone on a Sunday evening in his pants. But really, all we need to say now is congratulations to JP and Danielle. You've done it now. There's literally no turning back. But we're going to look forward to celebrating with you. So congratulations, enjoy, and thank you.